This is episode 02 of season 04. My name is Zero Klaatu. Actually, my name is Just Klaatu. I'm the host. This is a Linux podcast. It's all about Linux and stuff that you can do on Linux. And this show is a walkthrough slash tutorial of QTractor, which is an audio program that I found. I've been using it a lot. I've been really impressed with it. Just thought it warranted a tutorial. If you have no interest in audio editing, then don't bother listening to this episode. And that's why I've done it as a self-contained episode. We may consider this an optional episode. I'm not going to do anything in this episode but the QTractor tutorial, so you're not going to miss anything. You won't miss any witty commentary or anything like that. You're just going to miss a tutorial that you don't care about. So that's what we're doing. Away we go. QTractor, it is alpha. It is not beta. It is not release. It is alpha software, meaning that there are lots of functions that are not going to be implemented yet. There are going to be functions that might not even be invented yet. They might not have even thought of that idea for this program yet, even though it might seem sort of basic for an audio editor. Some of these features are really major, like the ones that aren't implemented, plugins. Not implemented yet, unless you get your own version maybe out of SVN and possibly turn on some things, you know, manually that way. But certainly on the release, on the alpha release, it's not implemented yet. Other things that just don't even seem to have been thought to be implemented yet, track automation, like volume adjustment, you know, the computer will do for you. So crescendos and things like that are kind of hard to do. Fade-ins and fades-out at weird moments, you know, it's kind of hard to do without automation. Or some kind of keyframe recording on your mixer. It's not possible. So this isn't where it needs to be yet. This is a cool application. I think it's a great introduction to audio editing. I think it's destined to be everything from the GarageBand of Linux to the Pro Tools of Linux. I really like this application. For some reason, I'm kind of liking the feel of it better than I like the feel of Ardour, even though Ardour is a fantastic application, and I'm not going to take anything away from it, especially since it's so mature and it has so many features and stuff like that. But for some reason, I don't know what it is, and it could be my imagination, it could be my hardware, but the Qt-based applications seem to run smoother for me. They seem to be, I don't know, I hate this word, so elegant, more elegant? I mean, that's stupid, but it just feels different. Having said that, QTractor's, you know, it's alpha, so use it with care, and be careful. So this tutorial is going to be is for audio only. There's a lot of MIDI functionality for QTractor. In fact, I gather that's one of the things they specialize in. And there's a lot of really nice features available for the MIDI work that you might be doing. The problem is I don't have any hardware gear anymore, and I don't really have anything that I want to pipe through QTractor via MIDI. So it's just I'm not really doing MIDI anymore at all. You know, at some point I might be able to figure out MIDI plus QTractor, but not anytime soon. So this tutorial is on audio editing. And the first thing you'll need to do is install QTractor, and obviously in order to do that, you need to resolve any dependencies that it requires. And there are some obvious ones like Qt 4.5, which it says pretty prominently when you download it. You probably already have Qt 4.5 if you're running, you know, a very current KDE desktop. If you don't, just install, I guess, KDE, the KDE base from your repository, and that should pull Qt 4.5 down. You might be able to also just install Qt 4.5 without KDE. I think on Fedora you can, so you might be able to on other systems as well. But I wouldn't know how well that works, because obviously I'm running KDE, so. Another thing that you have to have installed is Jack, which is the Jack Audio Connection Kit. And this is the sound server that you're going to find interfaces with pretty much all the quote-unquote pro apps on Linux, all the pro audio apps. The easiest way to get everything you need installed from that kind of toolkit is just install QJackCTL. Or I think if you're not... that's what I would do, because that's what I know works. So it's QJackCTL, and that is a Qt-based control center for Jack, and there's a GNOME, a GTK-centered control kit as well, so you could try that as well. I did the QJack because I knew that it was Qt-based, and that's what I'm running, so I did QJackCTL. I don't see why it wouldn't work with the GTK version as well. But I mean, aside from that, I never even open up QJack, because QTractor has most of the interface that I would be doing in QJack integrated with QTractor, so you might find that you're not even going to be using the GUI side of it, but you might be, so, you know, whatever. So the QJack CTL is going to bring in the major Jack dependencies, like JackD, and it does give you the GUI in case you need it, and you want to also install Pulse Audio Module Jack if you're running a system that runs Pulse Audio. So now that you've got all that stuff installed, and you might want to install more stuff, you know, like Sox, MPlayer, FFmpeg, GStreamer plugins, Lame, you know, just kind of beef up your box a little bit for sound work. That's not a requirement. So once you're ready for the whole audio editing thing, and you go to qtractor.sourceforge.net, and you download all the source code, and you do your ./configure, and then you do a make, and then you do /su --c --make install, close single quote, or if you're on Ubuntu, it would be sudo make install. You wait for it to install, and then it will be on your system, and then you need to run it. Depends on what system you're running as to where it will show up. I mean, some systems seem to auto-detect new applications pretty well, others don't. So you might have to add it to your applications menu, you know, in a config file or through a GUI or whatever. Or you could just launch it from the terminal, QTractor, and just let it launch from there. However you do it, you're going to get into QTractor. And to start with, there are three columns. There might be a bottom panel on QTractor at first launch, which is called Messages, and it gives you all the little system messages that you probably don't really care about unless you're sitting there debugging or troubleshooting the application. So I close that one, and since this is all Qt 4.5, there are little X's within each pane, and you can close each panel independently of the other panels within the application. It's just so cool. I love Qt 4. So close the messages pane, just to give yourself more real estate. And then, now you're staring at definitely three columns, and on the leftmost column, there's a track column, and that's going to contain all the track names and some track controls, once we have tracks. The middle column you could call that a channel list as well, over on the left. If you're used to, like, hardware mixing, I think of that as my channel listings, not my track listings. But if you're more used to, like, an 8-track recorder or something, multi-track recording, you could call that your track list. Middle column is the audio clips. That's where the audio itself will appear that you're going to start editing. And then the rightmost column is your file bin, or your file column, and this is going to be a list of all the samples and audio clips and things that you're going to bring into your project, which is pretty cool. I think it's really neat that they have a file bin. That's something that's really lacking on a lot of editors in Linux, is a little repository for all your files that you want to use in the project. Multimedia, I think it's kind of helpful. I mean, I know it is a little bit redundant at the same time, but I find it really helpful a lot of times to have a little bin with all your little files in it that you can just keep drawing from. That's just me, and a lot of other multimedia users. So you're ready to technically build your little project now, right? Because you've got it open, you've got an empty project staring at you, so we could just start building up our project with all of our sound clips, right? Well, we could, if it weren't for the fact that this is alpha software. I have to give you a little warning or a little bit of advice here. What you're going to find is that the sample rate of QTractor is whatever the sample rate of Jack is right now. So if your Jack is set to 48 kilohertz, then QTractor is going to be 48 kilohertz, and there's no conversion. So this means that you need to look at all your tracks and find out what the sample rate of all of them are. For instance, I record my podcasts on my Nokia, which records at a whopping 8,000 hertz. That's 8 kilohertz. That's really, really bad sound quality, but if I was going to try to edit these clips in QTractor, and I tried to drag in an 8,000 hertz sound clip into a project that is set at 48 kilohertz, that would be a problem. So the issue here is just that they haven't come up with a way to convert automatically the sound clips when you're bringing them into QTractor, so you need to do it yourself outside of QTractor. This is not a big deal. It's really quite easy. I do it with FFmpeg just because that's what I know the best, I use FFmpeg a lot. You can do it with Mincoder, you can do it with Sox, whatever. I do it with FFmpeg, so I go into, you know, my folder of little clips. Again, a lot of times I'm dealing with 8,000 hertz clips, so I'll do, like, I'll do FFmpeg, space dash I, which is for input, space foobar.wave, space dash VN, as in video no, like, no video, video no, space dash AR for audio rate, space 48,000, that's 48,000, space foobar48.wave. And what I've done there is I've said the input file is foobar.wave, don't worry about a video track, upconvert, upsample it to 48 kilohertz, and rename it foobar48.wave. It's as simple as that. Would it be smarter for me to set jack at 8,000 hertz? Well, yes and no. In my case, no. In theory, it could be yes. If I was literally just editing 8,000 hertz sound clips, I could go in, set jack at 8,000 hertz, and then I would not have to upsample anything. I could just import all my files, then the project would be at 8,000, my files are at 8,000, we're all good. Now, realistically, I bring in music and stuff, right? And I don't want the music to be at 8,000 hertz. That's just silly. Someone spent a lot of time recording and composing and stuff, that music. So I just upsample all the 8,000 hertz stuff up to like 48,000, and that way the music and the voices match and everything is at maximum quality. Now, if you find yourself that you're just dealing with like 44,100 audio sample rates, then just go ahead, set jack at 44,100. That's CD quality, that's fine. No need to upsample everything to 48 kilohertz for no reason, you know. I mean, if your music is at 44,100, which it frequently is, then just go ahead and your voice, your audio tracks are at 44,100, keep cue tracks at 44,100, and that's that. Or if I was recording at 48,000, then I would not have to upsample, and I could keep it at, you know, I could keep cue tracks at 48,000, bring in all my music, all my voice, and there'd be no conversion. But the reality of it is, a lot of times that you're mixing samples and or sources from clips from different sources, and the audio sample rate is just, it's going to be different. That's how it is. So FFmpeg -i foobar.wave -vn -ar 48,000 foobar48.wave. That's your command. All of this, by the way, can be found at straightedgelinux.com/qtrackdoor. I'll include that link in the show notes. So after you've added some files to your little file bin, which you can do, by the way, by just right-clicking in the file column and selecting Add Files, or I think that I want to say the command for that is Control F. I could be wrong about that. Could be like Control A. But anyway, just right-click on the file column, and you'll see all the different contextual options that you've got available to you. The first thing before we begin editing is that we should deal with some of the keyboard shortcuts. Now, the way to do this is you go to the Help menu, and you go to, I think it's just called, like, Shortcuts or Keyboard Shortcuts, something like that. Yeah, Keyboard Shortcuts. And so you select that, and a little window comes up. It's very, very intuitive. You'll see the name of the action, the description of the action, and the shortcut assigned to that. And there are some that just don't have anything assigned yet. There are some that have assignments that, for me, don't make sense, you know, that I don't agree with or something like that. And I will post my configuration file in the show notes so that if you want to just grab that and swap it out with your, you know, for your own configuration file, you can. That way all the keyboard shortcuts will be assigned. I do things, I mean, in Pro Applications, common work method is your right hand on the mouse, your left hand on the keyboard. So your left hand is doing all your keyboard shortcuts and your right hand is making all your edits. This means that ideally you don't have a whole lot of multiple key commands, you know, whereas Control Shift A for, you know, one thing, and then Control S for another thing. Just single letters, you know, S for split, N for normalize, Q for quantize, E for export. Just single keys, because that your left hand can deal with really easily. You start throwing in modifier keys, and suddenly you have to kind of think for a moment when you're going to press something. So, and it's there's no point for the, I mean, I know that in a word processor or something, I could see the need for a modifier key, but in something where you're not typing anyway, I mean, a single command is seems very logical. So that's what I do. I try to assign as many functions, especially the most commonly used ones, with just a single letter. And then some of the less used ones, I'll throw in some kind of modifier key. And that's what I would advise you to do. I mean, certainly for split, the act of cutting a audio file in half or in two parts, that needs to have a keyboard shortcut, and it doesn't by default. So definitely do that. Just S for split. You can do N for normalize, Q for quantize if you want. Those aren't quite as common, at least in my work. I don't use that as much. But split, you're going to be using that all the time. Shift R for record, Shift M for mute, Shift S for solo. You know, whatever. I try to keep it, you know, logical, group things together, and just use modifier keys when necessary, and only when they're less common commands than, you know, the ones that I would be using single keyboard shortcuts for. So let's string some audio together. So the way to do that is you just drag and drop. You take a file from your file bin, and you drag it over to the left, that middle column, and drop it in your sequence editor. It shows you the sound waves of it. Some reason, by default, it starts auditioning when you drag and drop. The way to stop it from playing is you hit a little play button on the lower right-hand corner of the file bin. So one of the most basic functions of audio editing is splicing, or in QTractor they call it splitting. And this is just the act of cutting out an unwanted sound, or cutting off of a big long period of silence. Maybe I didn't know what to say, so I stopped and didn't say anything for a while, you know. Or maybe I had a rush, like when I'm doing listener feedback, a lot of times I'll realize I don't have their email right in front of me after all, so I'll have to like find it, and the tape is rolling, as it were, you know, it's just recording dead air. So with the split tool, I could cut that dead air out. And the way to do that is you want to move your playhead over to the place that you want to make the splice, or the split. The playhead is the red transport, or the red line that goes up and down across your workspace. Technical term for that is the transport. I call it the playhead because that's what it is. It's a playhead. Now, in QTractor, to move that red playhead around, it's Control-Click. You Control-Click to move the playhead around. In my humble opinion, the red playhead is your primary playhead. It should not require a modifier key to move it around. It should be the click, and the blue little edit heads should be the Control-Click. But such is not the case, and who am I to argue? So it's Control-Click to click around and bring the red playhead to where you want it to be. This red playhead becomes, it's kind of a multi-tool. For now, the red playhead is also your splicing tool. So you move your red playhead to where you want to make the splice. So if there's a bad sound somewhere, or a space of silence that you need to get rid of, you'll move the red playhead to the beginning of that sound, or that silent area. And then you need to select the track. This is going to seem a little bit redundant if you only have one track, but, I mean, as your track grows, you'll have multiple tracks, and maybe you just want to splice, you know, the voice track. You don't want to splice the music track at the same time. So you need to select the track that you actually want the cut to be made in. The easiest way to do this is to hit whatever keyboard shortcut you have assigned to track select, which I think by default even is Control T, and I'm pretty sure that I changed it to just T. But do that. You select the track. You've got your red playhead set up where you want to do the splice, and then you hit S to splice. Sections where there are one. Spliced because there are little boxes, little transparent boxes on the upper right and left corners of each audio clip that you have in your work project. They're there for a reason. We'll go over why they're there, but you'll notice that after you splice, it becomes a distinctly new clip, you know, the thing that you've just cut. So now you've got two clips where there were one. So you've just split it. You can also select edit and then clip and then split, but I just hit S for split. And then if you want to get rid of whatever you just spliced, select that stray piece of silence and hit delete. The precision of your work will largely be dependent upon your zoom level. If you're zoomed way, way in, you know, you're starting to see things in frames, you know, in less than 1 second intervals. And that gives you a lot more precision than if you're zoomed out and you're just kind of seeing an overview and you know, your cursor can only select so precisely. So if you zoom in, you start to see a lot more detail on your sound waves and stuff like that. So there are buttons down at the right hand corner of the workspace. They're little magnifying glasses. Two of them zoom in vertically, two of them zoom in horizontally, and one resets the zoom. So play around with those so you can kind of get an idea of the different methods of zooming, of zoom control you've got. And especially for detailed editing, say like if I cough or there's a pop in the microphone or something like that, I'll probably want to get in there pretty close. So I'll zoom way, way in. Now there is something called a range select, and this is found on the little toolbar of QTractor. To the right of the delete clip icon, there are three different selecting modes. There is a clip, range, and rectangle. And for the life of me, range and rectangle, I mean, they say that they have different functions in the manual of QTractor, but I can't tell the difference. The clip select just selects the entire sound clip from your in and out point, you know, from where you've spliced to where you've spliced, or just the beginning or the end. Like, if you haven't spliced it at all, it'll select from the beginning of that clip to the end of that clip. Not the track, just the audio clip itself. The range, and right now the rectangle, will select whatever area you draw for it to select. And the way that you draw your selection area is you just click and drag over the area that you want to select. I like to start in like the empty gray area of QTractor, because if you click on a track, it thinks you're, you know, grabbing the track to move it around. So kind of start in an empty space and then just click and drag over it, just like a normal selection tool in GIMP or Krita or any other program with a selection tool, Audacity, you know, whatever. Once you've selected an area, the little blue playheads, these are the edit transports, they're placed at the end, on the, you know, the beginning and the end of that little range automatically. I'm assuming there's going to be a little bit more functionality assigned to the edit transports at some point, but right now they're just kind of markers. And now you can do whatever you need to do with that little range that you've selected. In this case, we're deleting it, so I would just hit delete, and it goes away. A note about deleting and things like that. This is not Audacity. This is non-destructive editing. So if you delete a big section out of the middle of something, and then you realize, oh, I need that back, and you don't realize that till much later, you can just click on the very edge of the track, like the border of the track, and drag it either to the right or the left to extend that track and reveal the audio. You know, these are basically just setting like in and out points. You're not deleting anything ever. You're just cutting it off. You're hiding it, basically, which is a good thing. That's how it should be. So this is definitely non-destructive. And another note about editing here, this isn't Audacity either. So if you are doing a lot of waveform editing, and by that I mean like doing pop and hiss removal and things like that, this probably isn't the application you want to use for that. Audacity is the waveform editor of choice on a lot of systems, even systems that aren't running Linux. You know, you'll find Audacity loaded onto it. Good old multi-platform support, right? So, I mean, it's a really powerful thing, Audacity is, and I don't certainly don't want to take away from it at all by featuring QTractor now. Audacity is great. When you're splicing, like I said, there are little boxes at the upper right and left-hand corner of the audio clip. They're little gray boxes. They're little handles, really. And if you click over that handle, you'll see that your hand becomes an arrow, or your arrow becomes a double arrow, or something like that. And so if you click on this, you can fade in and out over a clip. Unfortunately, you can only do this at the beginning and the end of a clip. So you can only fade in and fade out. So these are only fade in and fade out handles, and they're only linear fades. There's no kind of Bezier curve functionality so that you can fade in and out any way but a linear fade. It would be great if they developed something with a little bit more of a Bezier function. That would be really cool. And but it is nice to have the fade in and fade out at the beginning and end of every track. So if you need to do that, you know, for transition purposes or anything, that's how you do it. It's really easy, and it's great when an application has it just right there. You know, you don't have to select the area like you do in Audacity and go up to effects and say, okay, fade in or fade out. You can really control and modify at any point where the fade starts and ends. As you are adding more audio clips to your project, you're going to have to start kind of mixing it, probably. Unfortunately, once again, Qtractor not doing any kind of automated mixing, which it is going to have to develop at some point, certainly. But right now, there's not really anything for that. I mean, even Audacity has the envelope tool, which will let you automate, you know, volume adjustment and stuff like that. So the fact that this doesn't have it is almost a deal breaker for an audio editor, but not quite, because realistically, it's a really powerful program, and depending on what you're editing, you may or may not need that kind of automation so much. You can adjust the overall clip's volume level with gain. Now in Audacity, you would do this by selecting the track or the clip, and you'd go to effects and then amplify, and then you would adjust the amplification. Same idea here, it's just not as permanent as it is on Audacity. You select a clip or a track, and or a series of clips if you want, and you go to property. You can right click on it and select properties. Now if you have a number of clips selected, it will open up a property box for that series of clips. But either way, in the clip properties box on the right side, you'll see a gain control, and you can add. I don't think I've really noticed how high up the gain goes. It may go all the way up to 11. I'm not sure, but it goes up a fair amount. So you can raise up the volume of the overall clip. Like I say, technically speaking, if you put a splice in a clip and then you sat there and did a gain adjust on all those different little sub-clips that you've now created, you could sort of automate some volume adjustment, but it's not easy, and certainly not graceful. But, you know, if you do have a whole bunch of clips and they're varying volumes and you need to kind of even them out, that's one way you can do it with a gain control. Gain is good. Mixing window is good. The mixing window you can get to by going to the view menu and going down to mixer, or in my keyboard configuration, just hit M for mixer. You can adjust the overall volume of that track with your little volume slider, and you can monitor your levels because there's VU meters there. There's the track name. There's the state of the track, whether it's armed for recording or whether you're going to mute it or whether you're going to solo it. And there's a pan adjuster, so if you need the sound to come from the left ear, the right ear, somewhere in between, that's where the pan control is. So that's quite helpful. That's the mixer window. Now you'll notice on the Qtractor interface, up in the upper right hand quadrant, there's a little mini timeline, and this mini timeline is a gray box, and you'll start to notice as you add more clips that it starts to add like little miniature versions of your clips to this thumbnail. To this timeline, and this is a navigator, so you can move around your project by navigating around on this little mini timeline. It's very handy to have, you know, an overall view of your project, because especially since your playhead is serving dual duty as your playhead and your editing head, when you're doing that, you know, you need some way of figuring out where you are in your project and some way of going to a different space. So that's the mini timeline up in the right-hand quadrant. A very handy little tool. Use it often. Use it wisely. Over in the left column, which, as we've said, is the track column or the channel list, that's where, you know, to the left of your audio clips, that's telling you what track this is. And by default, it names the track by whatever the name of the audio clip is. So if I've dragged in a clip called HPR Intro, then the name of that track becomes HPR Intro. And I could rename it Music if I'm going to put all my music on that one track, or Voice if it was going to be a voice track, or if it suddenly turned into a voice track. Renaming it, I think, is just, you just right-click on it, and there's a rename option. But anyway, also under the track names and stuff, there are three little buttons, R, M, and S. RMS. They stand for record, mute, and solo. And again, I assign this keyboard shortcut Shift R, Shift M, and Shift S. You can also not do that and just click the buttons if you need them. Solo will allow you to only listen to that track. It solos that track. Mute mutes that track. So solo is going to mute every other track except that one. Mute mutes that track only. And then record, it's really just it means it's armed for recording, meaning that if you hit record, that track is going to receive the data that you are starting to record. So that it's not a button you're going to press to start recording. It's a button to say, yes, this is the destination track for a recording. Speaking of recording, let's record something. So let's say that either we need to record some audio. Maybe we're just going to use QTractor to record our entire show, which frankly wouldn't be a bad idea, and I should really start doing that myself, because that way I don't have to spend time transferring the files from Nokia to to the computer with QTractor on it and importing the files and stuff like that. I could just record straight into it and then edit it kind of as I go. So I might start doing that, actually. But anyway, if we're going to record, there are two different, I guess, classes of recording into QTractor or into any professional audio application. There is recording, and then there's something called punching in or looping. To record is you're just recording a completely new track. Punching in or looping is where you have a section of audio, and you know, maybe you were singing and hit a wrong note, or maybe you were talking and said something completely wrong. So the point is that you've got, like, let's say 5 seconds of bad audio, but everything else is great. So what you would do is you'd go in and you'd take out that 5 seconds, and then you would mark that 5 seconds as your loop area, your loop region, or your punch area, and then you would hit record and record for 5 seconds to fill in that big gap. It's quite handy in some things, and it's fairly useless in others. It just depends on what kind of project you're working on. So let's just do a new recording first. We'll do punching in a moment, but to make a new recording, you need to create a track for the recording, right? You need a destination track. There are a couple of different ways to create a new track. You can right-click in the track column and select Add Track, or you can go to the track menu and hit Add Track, or you can click the Add Track button in the toolbar, or you can use the default hotkey, which is, I think, Shift Insert. I can't use Shift Insert because this Mac book that I have Fedora running on, single booting, doesn't have an insert key, so I can't do that. But you might be able to if you're on something with a PC keyboard with insert key. However you do it, you're going to be presented with a track properties dialog box right up front, because it wants you to name that track, and it wants you to tell it whether it's going to be audio or MIDI. You're recording audio, so just leave everything as is, except the fact that it's audio and you can give it a name. You can also change, like, the colors and things like that, so do whatever you want to do there, but I just, it typically deals with the colors well on its own, so I don't bother. Okay, now you need to arm a track for recording, or, in other words, set a destination for what you're about to record. And you do that by hitting, like, either Shift-R, or you click the little R button on the track column. You know, the little RMS thing, you hit the R, it turns red. That says, okay, if this person starts recording, send all the recorded data to me. And that's obviously there because you don't want to start recording and suddenly start recording over, for instance, you know, your music track or something. You want to send it to its own dedicated track. Now, you'll hit the record button up in the toolbar of QTractor. It's the red circle right next to the timecode counter. The first time you do this, I define that with just the hotkey R, but the first time you do it, it's going to want to establish a location for your scratch audio files, which is, I think, quite handy. I mean, instead of recording to, like, /temp or something like that, it asks you where you want to start recording to, and you can make a new directory somewhere in your music folder or something, or your music editing or audio editing folder, you know, whatever. I make a nice project-specific scratch folder. I don't have just a, you know, QTractor scratch, because then everything from every project will be recorded there. So that's good. And now I'll only need to do that once per project, because from that point on, all the scratch recordings will be dumped into that little folder, which is fine, because it's project-specific. And then, just like on the old-style tape recorders, if you hit record and play, it starts recording. Well, that's what you do here. If you hit the play key, it will start, or hit the space bar to start playing, it will start recording. and the recording starts from wherever that red playhead happened to be. So you want to be mindful of where that is. If you think you're about to start recording right after the previous track and you hit play and your red playhead was way back at the beginning, then you're going to be recording from the beginning of the track or the project. Which is fine, you can just move the audio to the right to adjust for it, but be aware that wherever that red playhead is where it will start recording. So, that's recording, really. I mean, that's pretty easy. You arm the track for recording, you hit the record button, and then you hit the play button. That's it. That's the summary of that. Now, the reason that first of all, QTractor has been great about automatically picking up my sound configuration, or I guess maybe Jack has been great, and QTractor is looking at Jack, but I've had no problem with it. Now, if you're having a problem with picking up your sound or something like that, you might need to adjust the settings of Jack, and the way that you could do this is you go to View, and you go down to Connections, and a Connections dialog box opens up, and if you ever opened up Jack, this will look very familiar to you. This is the Jack interface, basically. Just, it's nestled within QTractor, and it's pretty basic technically. It kind of depends on your computer too. I mean, if you have 8 dozen sound cards in your system or something, then it could get kind of complex. But certainly on a lot of different, you know, a lot of laptops and a lot of computers that are just kind of out of the box, it's pretty basic. On the left, you've got all your available outputs. That is something sending a signal that you want your ears to hear. Okay, this is important because inputs and outputs get actually a little bit confusing on a certain level. So the outputs on the left is anything sending the signal that you want your ears, your human ears, to hear. Okay, on my computer, I've got two groups. I've got QTractor and I've got System. The QTractor outputs are the left and right channels of any audio that I have in QTractor, because that's how many outputs I have. I've got two outputs, a left and right channel. I'm editing in stereo. So that is something that I need to send to a physical device on my computer that will allow me to hear it when I press play. So I'm going to take, this is where the right column comes into play, because it contains also QTractor and System, but this is these are the inputs, or that is some place that I want to send sound to. See, because you kind of think of this as an output, because your computer speakers, you don't really think in your head, oh, that's an input, but from this direction, it is an input, because you're taking a cable from imaginary little DAW, digital audio workstation, that is QTractor, and you're plugging it into some speakers. So, in this sense, your computer speakers are inputs, and they're in the right column. So, basically, to get the sound out of QTractor into your computer speakers, you want to take little imaginary cables, little lines that connect the two columns, and send QTractor out 1 and QTractor out 2 to the playback 1 and playback 2 of your system. So whatever the system is using for sound playback, that's what you want to send the QTractor stuff to. Simple enough. Typically, the output of your computer is going to be your speakers, your internal speakers, or your system sound, I guess. Now, the system output in the left column is the capture source of my computer. Okay? Again, that's kind of weird, because from our end right now, we think of a microphone as an input device, but from this perspective, an audio engineering perspective, it is actually an output, because you're taking a cable and you're taking it from the microphone and you're going to plug it into some other device. So what device do you want to plug it into? Probably into QTractor, because you want everything that the microphone is picking up, you want to send it into QTractor to record it, right? So you take the little imaginary cables from System Capture 1 and System Capture 2 and string it over to the right column, QTractor Master N1 and Master N2. And now you've got a cable going from your microphone, your little computer microphone, over to QTractor input. It's kind of flipped on its head in a sense, but at least for me, it helps to imagine hardware. And if I'm literally the audio technician, when I see a microphone, I don't think of it, if I'm connecting it, I'm not thinking of it as an input device, because I'm not plugging a cable into it to send sound to it. I'm plugging a cable to get sound out of the microphone over to some other device. okay, so if we're punching in and punching out, that means that we've got a section of audio. Maybe I gave you some bad advice or something. I was recording an episode and I said something completely wrong, but I can't just cut it out because there needs to be some kind of transition between what I just said and what I'm about to say. So I need to insert, you know, maybe 5 seconds of audio. So in order to do that, I would punch in, which basically means that what's going to happen is that you're going to start playing, and it'll start playing the audio, and then at some point you'll reach that empty gap, and just during that empty gap, Q-Tractor will turn on recording, and it will be recording and recording and recording for 5 seconds, and then it'll stop recording and continue playing. So you can see why it's punching in. You know, you right over that gap you hit record, except that you don't have to hit record. The computer will do that for you. What you do have to do is tell it where to do that, though. I use the range select to select the range of audio that I want to record over. You can also use little edit transports. Like if you literally do have a gap, you can just click and the blue playheads, the little blue transports, will appear under your mouse, and you can kind of adjust them and click them around. So you're marking an in and an out point, basically. And you can either do that over existing audio, or you can do it over an empty space. It doesn't really matter. Then you need to set the upcoming recording session that you're about to do as a punch in out session. The way you do this is you hit the button to the immediate left of the timecode reader. It's the little clock. It will label itself with a, you know, with a tooltip, but it's the section that it's the little button that has a little red section, a little up and down arrow trying to show you that it's going to start recording at one point and then ditch you at another point. And that's just a toggle. So you hit that once, and that now if you hit record, it will be a punch in and out section. So you want to arm the track that you want to record to for recording. Now you can record over the original audio, or you can make a new track that will dump that audio into that new track. I advise making a new track, because that way you can have a series of takes that you can choose from. That's kind of nice. So if you've armed the track for recording, then you've got your little playhead set, your little edit heads set, that's your punch in and out range, now you hit record. And again, you have to kind of be mindful of where your red playhead was in the first place. Sometimes they will, I mean, like if I forget, I'll have the playhead after the area that I wanted to record, so it'll start playing, but it will never get to the punch in and out area. So you need to make sure that the playhead is somewhere before the point that you want to record in time, right? You can start it from the very beginning, like a lot of, you know, sometimes singers will do that. If they hit an off note for something and they need to punch in for that line, they might want to work their way up to it. So they'll play it from the very beginning of the track. They'll kind of hum along or sing along and just keep singing while the computer starts, you know, recording over that one part that they had hit the wrong note on before. For me, I don't really need that much preparation. I know what I need to say. So I set the red playhead a couple of seconds right before it's going to start recording, let myself hear what I just said, and then start recording what I need to say, and then it just keeps playing through. And that's what you do. So you hit the record button, and then you hit the play button, and it starts the playhead playing, and then whenever it hits the gap, it starts recording for you. That's it. That's how you punch in and out. When it reaches the end of the gap, it'll stop recording. It, if I recall correctly, it keeps playing. But that is looping or punching in and out. So that's how it's done. Congratulations. You have done an advanced audio engineer action. Now, at some point, you're going to want to export the project, because that's about all you can do in Q-Tractor right now is record and split and fade in and fade out and adjust some volume. So when you're ready to export, I hit E for export. You can also go to view. No, it's under track. What am I talking about? But anyway, the first thing you're going to want to do is make sure that all your export settings are correct. So for that, you do want to go to view, and then you want to go to options. And I think the default keyboard shortcut for that is F12, which, you know, F keys, I can never remember which is which for what program. I think they're useless, but F12 for the options. And in the options window, you can see that this is basically the preferences of Q-Tractor. You can see that there's the export format and export quality. Lots of different formats available, you know, WAV, FLAC, AIFF, AUG, I'll just use AUG. I happen to like that format quite a bit. And then I'll just say OK. Now, the export window gives you a lot of different options, so you can kind of click around in there and see what you want to set. There are some good options in there, just some basic preferences. And now you can export. And like I say, I assign E for exporting, but you can also get there by going to Track, Export Tracks, and select that you want to export the tracks as an audio file. It will then, of course, ask you where you want to save the file to. You know, save that to wherever you need to save it. I export it to the desktop so I can upload it and then file it away. And that is, I think, the long and short of QTractor. That is, you know, that's a good set of really important audio editing functions. It's a really attractive and easy-to-use application. It's one, again, that just shows a lot of promise, and I really hope that it continues to develop, and I think it's really promising. So check that out if you need an audio editor. Hopefully this little tutorial, this little walkthrough has just kind of made it clear, a little bit more, you know, clarified some things for you, made it a little bit easier. Maybe if you're new to audio editing, or if you just are new to anything but Audacity, you know, this could have been helpful, I hope. So have fun with audio editing, have fun with QTractor, and keep checking the website for updates. Not my website, qtractor.sourceforge.net. Keep checking that for updates. And if you code, certainly volunteer your help. Have fun. For this week, my email, if you need to contact me, is klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org. Website for show notes and links and things like that. Badapples.info. And thanks for listening.